This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello, welcome to Africa News Tonight. Thank you for joining us. I'm Mukbil Yabaro, and here's what's coming up.
This is a matter of climate justice, and we need to mobilize, especially public finance, to fund adaptation in our continent.
That was Soha Benchikroon, a climate and development policy analyst who will speak for Africa at COP29. Also, the World Food Program warns that by 2025, about half of Nigeria may face severe food insecurity. And experts say small modular reactors called SMRs are bringing affordable nuclear energy to less wealthy countries. All this and more coming up on Africa News Tonight. World leaders are arriving in Baku, Azerbaijan, for the annual UN meeting on climate change. As usual, the stakes for Africa are high. Scientists say extreme weather caused by higher temperatures is causing suffering across the continent. Darren Taylor reports.
The United Nations says human activities have been the main driver of climate change, primarily due to the burning of coal and oil. Scientists say burning fossil fuels generates gas that acts like a blanket wrapped around the earth, trapping the sun's heat and raising temperatures. This causes natural weather phenomena, such as storms, to be much worse than normal, they say. In 2024, millions of people have been affected by drought and floods across Africa. South Sudan's Minister of Water Resources, Paul Mai Deng, told a recent UN webinar the flooding in his country is unprecedented.
We have been having these massive floods and torrential rain for almost 4 years now. And these torrential rains and floods have resulted in massive displacement of people, nearly 2 million. And this population are living in an open air. And this has also forced most of them to migrate to neighboring countries. So we have got climate refugees, climate IDPs.
In southern Africa, drought has decimated crops, leaving millions hungry. Five countries have declared national disasters. Reservoirs are empty, so nations that depend on hydroelectric programs are often without power. As temperatures soared above 100 degrees Fahrenheit in many parts of Africa, so the barometer fell in South Africa's southern regions, causing heavy snowfalls in summer. Freezing conditions killed livestock and delayed planting. This means South Africa's usual exports to neighbors battling food crises will be late, says agricultural economist Thabile Nkunjana.
This was a very unusual thing for the country. A lot of farmers are busy preparing for planting the summer grains. Therefore, when the snow came in, it came at a period where a lot of people were not anticipating it. We are experiencing issues from the climate change that is happening that a lot of us that have been not very familiar with. As a result, there is a need to make sure that there is a bit of follow-up in terms of what we do as the continent to make sure that we are ready for this, because the reality is that...
The African Union, the AU, says food production in 29 African countries dropped this year, something it ascribes to changing weather patterns. The AU says rich, industrialized countries are responsible for the emissions that have caused this, so they should contribute to a so-called loss and damage fund. This will help the continent build climate-resilient infrastructure and switch to clean electricity, like wind and solar power. The World Meteorological Organization estimates it'll cost up to $50 billion a year over the next decade for sub-Saharan Africa to adapt to climate change. Soha Benchikroon is a climate and development policy analyst and will speak for Africa at COP29. She says this year's event is all about getting a global agreement on how to get more cash to poorer countries to help them cope with climate change.
This is a matter of climate justice, and we need to mobilize, especially public finance, to fund adaptation in our continent, because we need a long-term vision as opposed to short-term returns-focused approaches. As Africa, we need to take it with caution, with strong national frameworks and with legally binding social and environmental safeguards.
Hanging over the conference, though, will be the shadow of U.S. President-elect Donald Trump, who's called climate change a hoax. Ben Shokroon says it'll be very difficult for the world to confront climate change without buy-in from its greatest power. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
The World Food Program has warned that by 2025, about half of Nigeria may face severe food insecurity, rising prices, climate changes, and growing insecurity in critical agricultural regions. Our reporter in Abuja, Nigeria, has more on this.
The report, released on November 7th, is part of the CADA Harmonized Food and Nutrition Insecurity Analysis, compiled by the Nigerian government in collaboration with the Food and Agriculture Organization, the World Food Programme, and UNICEF. The CADA Harmonize, or CH, is the unified tool for the consensual analysis of acute food and nutrition insecurity in the Sahel and West African region. It is an early warning tool developed upon request of stakeholders aimed at food and nutrition crisis prevention and management system. During the November 2024 presentation of the CADA Harmonize, or CH, analysis in Abuja, the country representative of the World Food Programme in Nigeria, Manuela Renfield, called for urgent adoption findings to guide intervention effort.
The CH analysis plays a crucial role for assessing food insecurity. It identifies and compares specific vulnerabilities across Nigeria, capturing challenges related to conflict, displacement, economic hardship, and climate shocks. The CH analysis enables us to take informed decisions on where to spend and prioritize our resources. It helps justifying our targeting decisions to address the unique needs in the various states.
The projected hunger crisis is expected to worsen during Nigeria's lean season spanning June to August 2025. According to the CH report, approximately 5.4 million children and nearly 800,000 pregnant and breastfeeding women are at risk of acute malnutrition from the most affected states of Borno, Adamawa, and Yobe, the northeast, as well as Sokoto, Katsina, and Zamfara, the northwest. Yanusa Halilu is the national secretary of the All Farmers Association of Nigeria. He told VOA that the alarming projection requires the government and stakeholders to act fast.
All from the beginning, we told the government that let's enhance productivity. Let's come together and think of mechanization, think of technology, think of security of the farmers in the rural areas, think of expanding farms. The government, they are playing politics in agriculture. We said it several times that, look, we don't play politics and food security. But today it has happened. United Nations have released this report and the government is looking at it. Nothing is done.
He emphasized that Nigeria's producing capacity is very low and the safety of farmers is not guaranteed due to the increasing rate of insecurity.
Everywhere in this country, if somebody tells you that the farmers are secure, it's a lie. Even we that we are farming, we don't go right inside a virgin land where you can do a very good production because you are here, somebody will kidnap you and send you inside bush and be demanding millions when you don't even want it.
Halilu maintained that to avert the hunger projection, government must support the farmers by providing farm inputs, avoid selling off farm produce to neighboring countries, and solve the insecurity in the country to enable farmers farm without fear of being killed or kidnapped. This is VOA News in Abuja, Nigeria.
Only three women were elected to Botswana's National Assembly in the recent general election, which saw power transfer to a different political party for the first time in 58 years. Women's rights activists have called on the new administration to increase female representation in Botswana's politics. Mokondisi Dube reports from the capital, Gaborone.
The three women elected were among 28 female candidates contesting for National Assembly seats. Helen Manyeneng of the new ruling party, the Umbrella for Democratic Change, UDC, is one of the three female members of parliament in the 61-seat assembly. The UDC defeated the Botswana Democratic Party, which had held power since the country gained independence in 1966. Manyeneng says women face many challenges, including poverty, in their efforts to win political office.
We women, we are so overwhelmed by poverty. We are having very low socioeconomic status in Botswana as women. The past government showed no political will to assist. I think as a newly elected MP, female elected MP, I'm going to advocate for women economic empowerment.
Botswana's previous general elections in 2019 also saw only three women elected to parliament. Manyeneng says the patriarchal nature of society, where men have greater control over money and decision-making, restricts female participation in politics.
Women, they're so interested. Women can. And the issue is, who's supposed to elevate them? Who's supposed to assist them? And again, if you allow yourself to be under a man, I mean, somebody who's assisting you financially as a man, he will not allow you to stand for political position. A majority of men, when they just want to control, they don't want to be controlled, or they don't want to share that control with you.
The regional non-profit organization Gender Links released a report on Botswana before the October 30 election, which raised concern about missing women's voices in politics. Gender Links consultant Pamela Dube says Botswana has done too little to empower women.
It's a sad situation. It's been like this for a very long time. 58 years later, we only have three women in parliament. We have spoken, you know, greatly of what are the reasons really behind this being a patriarchal society that we are in Botswana, that does not believe women can, you know, lead, particularly in areas like politics.
Dube says Botswana's electoral system presents an impediment to women who want to run for office.
Gender Links has done a lot of work around that. That shows that the countries that advance are still holding on to the electoral, the first past the post electoral system, have less and less women in political office. Whereas the countries that have adopted the proportional representation, you know, is managing to get women in political office.
On Wednesday, newly elected President Dumaboko used a special dispensation to name three more women to the National Assembly.
We wanted to reach out throughout the year as possible to bring in young women, in particular with skills and visibility in society. And then, of course, we had to look at increasing the number of women.
The special appointments mean Botswana's parliament has 8.9% female representation, still well below the Southern African Development Community target of 30%. Kondisi Dube, VOA News, Gaborone, Botswana.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America. Find us on voaafrica.com. There you will find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. I'm your host, Mukbil Yabaro in Washington, and we'd love to hear from you. You can share your thoughts about the news and our programs by WhatsApp. The number is +1 202 258 3076. That number is +1 202 258 3076. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing our listeners' comments on Africa News Tonight. Experts say small modular reactors called SMRs are bringing affordable nuclear energy to less wealthy countries. But what are SMRs and why are proponents so excited about them? VOA reporter Henry Wilkins explains.
This Vienna conference in late October is the first one held by the UN nuclear watchdog that focuses on small nuclear reactors known as SMRs. Rafael Mariano Grossi, the director of the International Atomic Energy Agency, or IAEA, says less developed countries have signed deals to build the SMRs that will give them nuclear power for the first time.
The small and modular reactors, one of the most promising, exciting and necessary technological developments that we have had coming for quite a long time, but that we know now that is going to be a reality.
This year, Ghana and South Africa signed deals with firms to build their first SMRs. Others are already operating in China and Russia, and others are set to be built in Argentina, Canada, Britain, and the United States. But what are SMRs and how can they help the less wealthy countries access nuclear power? SMRs are miniature nuclear power plants with an electricity output about one-third that of regular nuclear plants. They're cheaper because of their smaller size and because they're factory-built. They require less upfront investment, making it more affordable for smaller economies to get nuclear power. Modular parts make the small reactors easier to alter and upgrade, and less expensive to maintain. Experts say because of these things, SMRs have the potential to transform economies. African nuclear physicist Senamil Masango says the African continent, where power outages are common, is crying out for energy solutions like SMRs.
We need instant solution to address the energy security. As you know, that energy is the center of the economy. So this energy scarcity or the energy challenges that are faced in Africa, it kills our economy.
But critics argue that countries should focus on renewable energies such as wind and solar, which don't carry the environmental risk of nuclear power and don't produce radioactive waste. Ed Lyman, Director of Nuclear Safety at the Union of Concerned Scientists, warns SMRs don't benefit from the same economies of scale as larger nuclear power plants. He says his analysis of one company's SMR shows customers can end up paying 5 times more when compared to larger plants for the electricity they produce. Because of the higher generation costs, he says, operators might have to limit expenses and run a higher safety risk.
There's just too much pressure to cut costs in other ways, for instance, by reducing the number of operators.
Lyman also said a strong independent national regulator is essential for avoiding nuclear incidents and that it's not always clear how SMR deals will be financed. Henry Wilkins, VOA News.
As the incoming administration of U.S. President-elect Donald Trump begins to take shape, questions about how he'll implement his campaign promises or even whether he'll seek retribution against his adversaries are in the minds of many Americans. Progressives, meanwhile, are reflecting on their White House loss. VOA's Veronica Balderas Iglesias reports.
After a decisive electoral victory, all eyes are now on President-elect Donald Trump and how he will govern. His supporters believe that even those Americans who didn't vote for the former president will see their lives improve. Former Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy, who backs Trump, appeared Sunday on ABC's This Week show.
I think a lot of people across the country, even who have bought into, I think, some false narratives about Donald Trump, are going to be pleasantly surprised as to finding more money in their paycheck, prices coming down in the country, a secure border.
With the selection of Susie Wiles as Trump's chief of staff, the president-elect's administration is already taking shape. The former president took to his Truth social media platform Saturday to make clear, however, that neither former U.S. ambassador to the U.N. Nikki Haley nor Trump's former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo will be invited to join his cabinet this time around. Meanwhile, questions have been raised about whether Trump will act on promises he's made to seek revenge against his political enemies and those who have pursued legal cases against him. Former Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy commented on the matter on ABC.
I'm going to tell you what Donald Trump has said on this time and again. Success will be our retribution. Success will be our vengeance.
For those who supported the Democratic presidential campaign of Vice President Kamala Harris, this is a time of reflection. Independent Senator Bernie Sanders shared his thoughts on the matter when appearing Sunday on CNN's State of the Union.
The working class of this country is angry, and they have a reason to be angry. We are living in an economy today, Donna, where the people on top are doing phenomenally well, while 60% of our people are living paycheck to paycheck.
While praising the Biden administration's achievements, Senator Sanders said there's more work to be done.
We need an agenda that says to the working class, we're going to take on these powerful special interests and create an economy and a government that works for you. And by the way, that can't happen unless you get big money out of politics.
U.S. President Joe Biden has promised there will be a peaceful transfer of power on January 20th. Biden called Trump to congratulate him after his election win, and the two are scheduled to meet in person Wednesday at the White House. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
The Mauritius opposition appeared to be headed for victory in legislative elections after Prime Minister Pravind Jugnauth on Monday conceded defeat. Final results have yet to be released, but the French news agency AFP reports opposition leader Navin Ramgoolam looked set to take over as prime minister for the third time at the head of his Alliance of Change coalition. Jugnauth said his Le Pep alliance, led by his militant socialist movement, MSM, was headed towards a big defeat in Sunday's polls in the prosperous Indian Ocean island nation. The campaign was overshadowed by an explosive wiretapping scandal when secretly recorded phone calls of politicians, diplomats, and journalists were leaked online. For a sports recap over the weekend, we'll start with the English Premier League. Some exciting games to stay with us. Liverpool versus Aston Villa. Liverpool were able to maintain their spot at the top of the Premier League with a 2-0 victory over Aston Villa. West Ham and Everton had a 0-0 draw. Brighton was able to come back from a 1-0 lead from Manchester City and continue this downward slope that Manchester City is on, and lost to Brighton by 2-1. Nottingham Forest, after coming off and starting off with such a hot start to the season, kind of cooled down a little bit by getting a loss against Newcastle. Newcastle beat them 3-1. Manchester United, right before their new head coach joins them, actually were able to get a win against Leicester City 3-0. Are they moving and trending in the right direction? Ipswich Town were able to get their very first victory in this season of the English Premier League. To whom? None other than the Tottenham Hotspurs. Tottenham Hotspurs are currently in the 10th slot, and what a loss for them, but what a big victory for Ipswich Town. And the London Derby, Chelsea versus Arsenal, ended up in a 1-1 draw, keeping Chelsea at the third slot and Arsenal at the fourth, both with 19 points, behind the leaders by 9 points. It is an early season, but Liverpool is off to a hot start. Now, if we're going to switch over to the NBA, we had some games yesterday to highlight. The Cleveland Cavaliers actually played on Saturday night against the Nets and were able to win 105-100. Even though they were down by double digits in the fourth quarter, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the only undefeated team in the NBA currently with 11 wins and 0 losses. Who would have expected the Cleveland Cavaliers to be at the top of the NBA? Not me. But it goes to show you that there are tons of teams and so much talent in this league, and they have won against some tough competition. The Boston Celtics in second place, 9-2, and of those losses, the Cavs were one of them. Then we have on the West side, the Western Conference, we have the Warriors with 8 wins and 2 losses, tied with the Suns and the Thunder, so it's a 3-way tie at the top. Exciting stuff going on in the NBA right now. I would say one of the most exciting games and most exciting teams right now also are the Young Magic. And that's it for us today, wrapping it up on this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Mukbil Yabaro in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Dave Vandy, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.